Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
Well, good morning again. I'm going to ask, out of respect for God's word, that we read that first. So if you would stand out of respect for God's word, we're in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read a verse. We're going to start in verse 28, and then we'll read through 39. I'll read a verse, then you will read a verse. We'll go back and forth. We'll see how well you can lift the rafters off this place. So can you do that? I didn't hear you. Can you do that? Yeah. Amen. So we're in Romans chapter 8. We're starting in verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Verse 29.
God knows his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son, so that
and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Verse 31. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Verse 33. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the right place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Verse 35. As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 37. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Verse 39. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, you can have a seat. Well, it is good to be with you and to share with you for the very first time. Now, I get really, really excitable, so I warn you in advance. As a matter of fact, my mother tells me when I was little, I was so hyper, she literally did not use food coloring in the food because I would be bouncing off the walls. Well, here I am this many years later, and I still bounce off the wall, so I don't think it was the food coloring, all right? So I get excited about what God's up to. I get excited about his word. I'm excited to share with you today. I'm excited for all those of you who are online watching it. I believe God's got something good for us. Can I get an amen, church? I will also tell you that the more interactive you are with me, the better I preach. Is that all right to say? Yeah. And so you are free to interact as you feel. If you're very more introverted, stay introverted. For those of you who are a little more extroverted, be extroverted. That's called the mosaic of people. Amen, church? So as we look at this time together, I've thought and prayed, what if we looked at a series called We Choose Joy? Choosing joy, and what does that mean and what does that look like for all of us? Because I believe regardless of who we are, regardless of what we believe, whether we are a Muslim, a Hindu, an atheist, a humanist, whether you are a follower of Jesus, everybody wants joy. The question is how we get there. That's the issue. Now, we all know there's a difference between joy and happiness, right? Happiness is so dependent upon you all, upon my day, how everything goes, and I can have a happy day or not so happy day. We know that joy is connected to what? It's connected to our intimacy with God. That is critical for us to understand today, and we need to understand that when Christ went to the cross, he wasn't happy when they beat him. He wasn't feeling happiness when he died for you and I, but joy in the midst of knowing that I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do in my life. Now, here's what you need to understand about this thing of joy. The greatest gift that you and I have to give, the greatest gift that I have to give the world is not my talent, not my title, not my skills, whatever. The greatest gift that I have to give the world is my intimacy with Jesus. Can I get an amen? That is the greatest gift that I have, and with that intimacy comes the joy that you and I so long for in our lives. So the question I ask myself, is it really possible? Come on now. Is it really possible to be intimate with Jesus? Yes. Is that why we were created? Can I actually go deeper and deeper in my walk with him? Or have I already heard everything? I want you to know that there's nothing that I will say that if you've been in church 15 years or more that you haven't already heard before. But the reality is the Spirit of God can take that and he can make it applicable to your day and your situation. Can I get an amen, church? I've asked myself this question a lot, and that is simply this, is that why is it that there are certain groups of people who when they ask Jesus into their lives, they take off crazy into the arms of Jesus. And they grow and they grow and they become more intimate. And there's the other group who they get their ticket to heaven and they struggle with this back and forth in their walk with Jesus. I don't know that I have the answer for you, but I have really, really struggled about this all the time. Now, I've got this theory as to why this is the case. I think the vast majority of the people in the church today fall in a group of what we call growing in Christ or growing in Jesus. And that group, they have learned through a variety of venues that I ask Jesus and ask Jesus to bless my life, bless my family, bless my day, bless my kids, bless all the things I'm involved with. Lord, you be involved with the stuff I do. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between asking God to join my stuff and moving from growing in Christ to what I would call a mature follower of Jesus. And it's subtle, but it's small. When you move from growing in Christ to maturity in Christ is this. Instead of asking him to join my stuff, when I start to become mature, I ask him, can I join his stuff? You following me? I want to join what he's up to. I want to join what he's about. And it's an adventure like nobody's business. I am a testimony to that I am standing here today, that there are twists and turns that not one of us could ever predict. Can I get an amen, church? May we move from God joining my stuff to God, I want to join your stuff, that I want to understand what that means and what that looks like, because we know who he is. He is the God, when we understand who he is, that makes all the difference in the world. We know that he is omnipotent. Would you repeat after me? Say, he is omnipotent. Say it again. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful, which means to you today, he's got your stuff. He's got your issues. Whatever it is you're going through today, there is a God out of 7 billion of them. Catch this. The complexities of 7 billion, we have a God that has the capacity to deal with your stuff. I don't know about you, but that does something for me, amen? He is omnipotent. He's also omniscient. Say, he's omniscient. Say it again. That's a little bit more tricky. Say, he's omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows me better than I know me. Is that good news? How many of you at times go, why in the world did I do that? Why am I thinking this? You need to understand that he understands us better than anybody else. He is that powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He is omnibenevolent. Say that with me. Say, he's omnibenevolent. He is all loving. He has this crazy love coming after you, chasing you and me wherever we are, in the darkest of the dark of the corner, when we feel the lowest of the low, he is there for us. That's some good news for us today, is it not? That's the news that we need to give to the world, that he is there doing, and he's chasing us down. He'll break everything in front of us to get to us. He proved it on the cross, and he's always there with us. But most importantly, he's immutable. Say, he's immutable. Say it again. He is immutable. Now you did theology 101. Good for you. Which simply means he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday as he is today, as he is forever. Is that good news for anybody? James says that a lot of times for a lot of us, we're like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Anybody felt like that this week? One moment you're really good, and the next minute you're going, I can't make it. We have a God that is consistent and never changing, pursuing us and desiring us. And I am excited. Now, here's what I want you to know is that how many of you here have known Jesus more than 20 years? Raise your hand so I can see. All right, here's what I want you to know. You should be the most excitable people with your personality than anybody else. Why? Because everything I just described about God, as you get to know him, you're being like, man, I'm just touching the surface. There's so much more. Now, you don't have to jump up and down like me, but you can be excited with your personality. You with me? That's the God that we serve, and he's saying joy will come when we become intimate with him. He is sovereign and he knows everything, right? But I'm also free in my choices. How those two come together is an argument we continue to try to figure out. We read Romans chapter 8 today. And here, I'm a kind of guy that kind of makes things simple. I'm going to tell you that simply this is, most of us live in Romans chapter 7. And you may go, well, what's Romans chapter 7? I'm glad you asked. It's simply this. You come to church, you hear the preacher preach, you get all motivated, you get all psyched up, you're ready to do whatever it is, and as soon as you get out there, you don't do it. Been there, done that? Paul says in Romans 7, every time I want to do good, I end up doing bad. I think we all can experience that one time or another, yeah? I'm here to tell you as a follower of Jesus and being intimate with him, you don't have to live in Romans 7. There is a Romans chapter 8. Can I get an amen, church? We've got to move to where we live, where we can have intimacy and have joy. And Romans chapter 8 is our roadmap so that we can have this joy and this intimacy with him. That's what he desires. So if you have your notes, you're going to see, you're welcome to pull them out. The first thing that I would say to you is this roadmap is this. There is potential to be like Jesus. There is potential to be like Jesus. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Say, more of you, Jesus. Say it again, more of you, Jesus. Now what we see in verse 29 as we read is that he has predestined us to be like him. In other words, he knew what choices you and I were going to make. But it isn't just to choose salvation. It's that we become more like him as a result. So many of us, and it's been the church's fault in some regards, we have lived our spiritual life way down here. And God wants us to live up here. We've settled this and thinking this is what my lot is. And here's what we do. We live vicariously through other people who get chapter 8. And they see the potential, and they say, oh, I'm so cool. Aren't we guilty for when we bring people on the stage and they do something amazing for God, which we should applaud, but I'm here to tell you that God doesn't show favoritism. Whatever he's done in that individual's life, he wants to do in your life, in my life. Can I get an amen? There is potential to be like Jesus, and he's like, you know what? Verse 29, you need to understand is that this is what it's all about. I predestined you to be like me. Now, I remember when I came to know Christ in 1982, I didn't know anything about the Bible, church, or any of that stuff. And I read in 1 John 2:6 in the Living Translation, it says this, if you call yourself a Christian, you need to live like Jesus. I remember going to my youth pastor and saying, how did Jesus live? I didn't have a clue. And he basically sent me to the Gospels, and my life took off from there. Looking at the life of Jesus, realizing there's actually potential through the power of the Holy Spirit that I can actually live this life that he's called me to live. And I'm here to tell you today, you need to realize, you may be saying, well, that's all good and fine, but verse 28 says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, and you're in the middle of a bad thing. And you're like, what good could come out of this? It's not that the bad is good. It's that in the middle of your pain and my pain, your suffering and my suffering, God will not allow it just to be suffering and pain. In other words, I don't want to just go through bad stuff for the sake of being bad. I want God to do what he needs to do, what he's predestined to do, that I can learn from that and lean into the arms of Jesus. I don't want to do it just for the sake of doing it, because life is not fair. That's why we have a cross. And he's like, hey, I want you to understand today that when you're going through whatever it is you're going through, I will use this for good in your life, that you will have the potential to actually be You can actually be like me. In other words, pain and suffering is God's megaphone to get our attention. It's not like he's causing it, but he's like, are you listening? I'm here for you now. I believe it's much easier to see Jesus and lean into him when we're struggling than when everything's going good. Because when everything is going good, how do we do it? We say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Give me some praise, all right? Praise Jesus, aren't I good? Come on now, isn't that true? We don't say it that way, but we live it that way. And he's saying, there is potential for you and I to be like him, like nobody's business. C.S. Lewis calls this a severe mercy, that God allows things to happen in our lives that he wants to then use to make us more like him. You and I need to understand, the potential, number one, is unbelievable. It is unbelievable that he can do exactly this, that he is desiring for us to actually experience why we were created in our mother's womb. He has got this thing, and it may be unbelievable to all around, but it's not unbelievable to him. The second thing I would say to you is that it's not just unbelievable, it's undeserving. We don't deserve it, but God's love is so powerful, he's making it known to you and I today. Now, when we're struggling, what do we typically do? We pull away from our church. We pull away from our family. Anybody been there, done that? We pull away and we isolate ourselves in the middle of our struggle. No, we realize we're undeserving, but that's why there's a cross. I want to pastor a church that's authentic and real, that the gospel actually meets all of our stuff in our today. Is anybody else desiring that today? If you do, would you say amen? If you believe that, would you say amen? He desires for us to stop walking around condemned, right? Because Romans 8 says there's no condemnation. We may feel we're undeserving, but you're no longer condemned. Is that good news today? You may be convicted by the Holy Spirit, but you aren't condemned today. You don't have to stop walking around like you're condemned, even though we feel like we're undeserving. But the third thing I would say to you about the potential is that it's unearthly. In other words, you can't put it on a piece of paper. It's my spirit with his spirit connecting me and doing that which only God can do. And unless you have a relationship, your spirit with God's spirit, will you ever understand what I'm talking about? So often what we have done is we've put God in a box and we've domesticated him and we've told God this is the way you're to work. Now, we haven't used those words, but we live our life that way. I'm here to tell you today that God wants to do more than we could ever dream or imagine. This goes beyond intellectual assent. Many of you have the Bible down pat. And you have all the information. We have this intellectual ability. There's nothing wrong with intellect, but let me warn you what Corinthians says. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We are to love the Lord with all of our mind, yes, but beware that knowledge puffs up and there's pride in it. And as he calls us out, I want to move from an intellectual ascension to an experience with the one who created. Is anybody hungry for an experience with Jesus this morning? There are a few people out there that said, man, I want more of him today, right? The potential is there. The potential is there that we need to understand that. And the key point is simply this. The goal is to know him and be like Jesus, and joy will follow us. He's waiting on you and he's waiting on me. Let's do this thing. So there's potential. The second thing that Romans 8 says is that there's power. There's power, for God is for us. Would you repeat this prayer? Say this. Give us your power, Lord. Say it as though you mean it. Say, give us your power, Lord. Give us your power, Lord. Do you know that he promises us his power? Acts 1:8, and I will give you power. What? To be my witness. That is the Greek word that we use, dunamis, which is the same word we use for dynamite. And when dynamite goes off, guess what happens? It's all over the place, and you can see the effects of it. I want to see that kind of power effect, all believers all over the place. You with me? And the power of God is there, and when they walk out of the room, they're like, what just happened? You with me? Now, I am convinced that we have a church today in America that isn't seeing the power of God, because what I already said is that we have put God in a box, and we've said this is the way God's got to work every day. But if God's power and presence shows up, and he does what he does, sometimes some of us will just be on our face, and we won't be able to do anything. You look at the Old Testament, when God shows up, there's nothing you can do but just say, oh God, oh God, oh God. You with me? We have domesticated God, and others of us, we think that if we have the power of God, then there's gonna be all these crazy things, and crazy wild things are gonna happen. And others of us, we want power because we want to do it, James says, the book of James, for our own selfish motives. But when our power is for his glory, he wants to release it. He wants to release it to you. It's for you today. That's what you and I need to understand today, is that he is for us. Verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can what? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? And when he shows up and he does this in a corporate setting, it's gonna be a little chaotic. Are you okay with that? We can't predict everything. A little scary. But then the vision of God starts to show, and then things start to happen and expectation begins to grow. If we believe that God is all powerful, then we believe that he can change my life and he can change the lives of those around us. You with me? The power is there. Pastor Michael is an assistant pastor at our church at Mosaic. I led him to Christ 3 years ago. He just started about 6 months ago. And I met him in the rehab center that I was teaching at. And he came just for the cookies. And because I when I go to the rehab center, I would bribe. I'd walk down the hallway and go, I bribe with cookies, come to my class. I bribe with cookies. I said, is it bribery if it's open bribery? I have no idea, but you can come to my class. And they literally come for homemade cookies. Joe Hoffman, bless her heart, this old lady cooks cookies every single week, and it has allowed me to have more relationships. People love food. You know what I'm saying? So Michael shows up, and then he's kind of like interested but not interested, and then he comes to church because he's thinking maybe I can find a woman there, all right? The motives for why we go to church are crazy. You're all welcome to come, but eventually we want you to see Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? So Jesus starts to engage him, and Michael can't resist it. Okay? He can't resist it. So I disciple him for about 3.5 years. Then I'm like, Michael, God's calls on your life. You're called into ministry. Will you become an assistant pastor with me? He'd been taking theological courses with me. So now he is a lay pastor at our church, one class away being licensed with the church. And we call him Pastor Michael. And the other day he just went to Mexico with our team there. And he walks into my office with his passport. And he goes, God is amazing. I said, what? He said, you don't understand. I'm a felon 3 times over, and I've got a passport. Yeah? And I said, Michael, listen to me. If this is not the gospel, and if this isn't true, then what we're doing is a farce. If you can't change our lives, if we're just kind of going through the motion, and we all sit and put a show on, I don't want anything to do with it. I want life changed because I can't do it, but the power of God can do it. Let's get out of the way and watch him do what he's always forewarned and predestined to happen in the church of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? The power of God is waiting to be released upon us. Now, when his power comes, yeah, there's going to be the outward signs, miracles, signs, wonders, and all of that. And some of you will freak out about that, but let God be God. Can I get an amen? But it isn't just that. It's what happens in our heart, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those things all start to happen. And it's an amazing thing because Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:18, and I will build my church. I'm here to tell you, I have no capacity to build this church. But I lean into the one who does, and he has the power, and he is saying, let's do this thing. How many are ready to do this thing? Amen. He says, we have the potential, and he says, we have the power to do exactly what he's called us to do. Now, I want you to understand that even in Jesus told us in Luke 18, there's this guy who was rich, but he did everything that was religiously right, and the disciples watched Jesus engage him, and it said that Jesus loved the man for all the good things he did, but he knew there was one thing in his life that he lacked. He had the control of his finances, and Jesus said to him, hey, sell everything you have, give to the poor and follow me. And he walked away dejected. And the disciples watched all of this and they were like, wait a minute, he's the standard. If he can't do it, who can? And Jesus looked, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, that's right, you get it. With you, it is impossible. With me, all things are possible. In other words, we have to be willing to give up control in order to have the power of God. You with me? We have to be willing to give up control, and sometimes we got to keep giving up control every single day. It's not a one and done. We got to keep doing it over and over and over again because we have these issues, these trust issues. Now, to jump into Romans chapter 8 and see the power of God, we got to do what 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, be sanctified through and through. Let me simplify it as this. It means to be set apart. For many of us, like I said, we've asked Jesus into our lives, we've surrendered, now we've got our ticket to heaven. But we live in Romans 7 our entire life. And nobody has, you haven't learned or understood, there's another step. We call it a crisis moment where we surrender and we say, Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, I'm no longer gonna be intoxicated with wine, but I wanna be intoxicated with your spirit. I want you to control me. I now surrender. I give up control of everything to you. And I remember in my own life, I accepted Christ in 82, and it was July 28. I remember in the fall, I was learning, and I was reading those gospels I told you about. And I remember a preacher preaching up front, and that was back in the days where we had Sunday night service. And as they were preaching, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was saying, I want every part of you. I didn't even know the word sanctified meant set apart. I didn't. All I knew was that I came to the altar, and as I did, I knelt and I wept, and I said, God, fill me with your spirit and do all that you need to do. And the journey started that day in a powerful way. And if you want intimacy with Jesus, you want the power of God, maybe you've missed the most critical besides salvation is to surrender and say, I want you to do something fresh and new in my life. I surrender to you. Begin that process in me. That's when the power of God is actually released into our lives, and he wants to do that. When that occurs, my friends, you need to understand that we will be given perspective. Perspective to be able to see the way God sees. We'll be able to have hope in the midst of suffering, that victory is assured. We have the ability, you ready, to say no to sin. Romans 7 is not there. We don't have to just sing the song, I'm no longer a slave to sin. We can live it out. Anybody want to be a victor over sin today? Come on, church. Yeah, I want to be a victor over it. When we see his power, it is possible when we do this. And he also said he'll give us a new passion for him. A new passion for Jesus is what he's asking us to have. I want you to understand he's saying that's for us today. You see, the power, the key point is simply this. God's power is accessible today. And joy will follow. Don't live as a spiritual pauper. A.W. Tozer and Leonard Ravenhill were talking one day back in the day. These are legends in the Christian church. And I think it was Tozer that told Ravenhill, we won't be in heaven for 30 minutes before we all recognize we lived as spiritual paupers. And God wanted so much more for our lives. And we settled culturally or in our church. And God was like, come on, I want to give you more. You understand that? How many of you are parents? Raise your hands. And we all want to give our kids things, right? And sometimes I'm the guy that on Christmas morning, I jump in and start singing Christmas songs to all my kids in the room, and they start almost cursing me to get out of their room. Come on. But because I want them to experience that great morning, that excitement, I want to give it to them, but I can't give it to them unless what? They really want to experience it, right? I can force them to come down in front of the Christmas tree, but if they're all looking at me as though death warmed over, it's not going to really be a good time. That's when you're in the family situation, we're all going to have fun, whether it kills us. Anybody been there, done that, right? And it's the same with God the Father. He's saying to us, you know what? I want you to have joy today, but you're just missing it. I want you to have joy, and I want you to have intimacy, and I want you to have the power to be able to live your life, but do you really want to engage it? He's telling us in Romans 8, there's potential, but there's also power because he is for us. But the third you can see in your notes there is that there's position, that God is with us, the Emmanuel. Would you look at somebody, even though you may feel uncomfortable, and say, God is with you. Say it again, God is with you. And what does he say in verse 37? And absolutely nothing will ever separate us from Jesus. Nothing will ever separate us from Jesus, right? Death, life, angels, the demons, the present, nor the future, nor anything else will ever separate us from him. Nothing in all creation. And what does he say in this position? That we are not just conquerors, folks. We are more than conquerors. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say it as though you believe it. Say, I am more than a conqueror. I am replacing, having you repeat, what I'm doing is I'm replacing truth with lies, because the vast majority of you don't believe that. Once you start to believe Romans 8 and you realize I'm in Christ and he is with me, the Emmanuel God with me, that's a game changer. That's in every moment of every day of my life. He is wanting it for me. Well, Mick, I don't know the Bible, or Mick, I'm struggling with this. That's the perfect time to lean into him. Here's how you know whether or not your position in Christ is actually doing what it needs to do, is that Job chapter 42, when he lost everything, he said, I have heard about him, but now my eyes see him. I wonder how many of us today have heard about him, brushed up against him, but I've never really seen him. And Job had to lose everything in the tragedy of his life before he gained the most important, right? He had to lose everything before he gained the most important thing in his life. Jesus told us in John 17, he said, he prayed for you and I, and he said, I pray that they know you as I know you. That's the Greek word gnosko, and that means I don't just intellectually know him. I experientially know him. I want to gnosko Jesus. I want to gnosko God the Father. I want to know him experientially. Does this make anybody excited today? Jesus prayed this for you and for me today, that we would know him. And he's given us the position when we invite him into our lives to say, this is not just a one and done. This is every day of every opportunity, through the good and through the bad. I want you to know me powerfully. And sometimes we have to lose something in order to be able to gain the most important things in our lives. There's an old saying that was out in the 80s that I love, and I kind of alluded to it already, and that is this, is that when I start to experience everything that God is and all that God wants, it's like I'm walking through a brand new door. And when I walk through it, however many years I've been following Jesus, that I realize in that moment I'm a stranger to his holiness. That I've learned a lot intellectually, but experientially there's so much more for me to experience. And I want to know more. I don't want to be a stranger to his holiness. I want to know him more today. Now, here's how you know whether he's a stranger. You ready? Are you talking more about your past than what God is doing today? Churches are notorious for that. We can talk in the past tense about all that we have done. And there's nothing wrong about acknowledging mileposts. But if you stay there, that's an excuse because you have nothing relevant or new. And I'm here today to tell you that because of your position in Christ, you have the capacity to be everything that he needs you to do. Now, I have jealously today, whether you're up in the balcony or whether you're here scattered throughout this first service we call 9 a.m., I have jealously prayed that every single one of you, that the Spirit of God would speak to you. And I believe that he wants to. And I believe that he's speaking. Anybody else believe that? The question is not whether he's speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? And do you hear him? This is not about me giving you a sermon that you get wooed and wild about. This is about you being driven into the arms of Jesus and this thing that we call intimacy, that my fire starts to be lit inside me. And that fire is strong because I know that joy follows in that. That I have potential and I have power and I have position that enable me to be what I need to be, and I need to understand that. Then I'm no longer worrying. Then I'm no longer having anxiety that Jesus talks about us. Do you want to know him today? Yes or no, church? Do you want to know him today? Let me ask you again, yes or no, church? And here's our source of truth. Anybody agree with this? If you agree with this, would you put your hands together? Do you believe in this? The revealed truth of God, yes? You notice I'm making statements as your new pastor. Here is our source of truth. God speaks through this, and if I don't get into it, then I miss so much. I want to know more about him. I don't want to be a stranger to his holiness. Do you want to know him intimately today so you have joy? I want you to know that he desires that. I have joy because I know who he is. Let me quickly, because I can talk quickly, tell you who he is. If I can walk through, there's an old lyrics, an old song that I can walk you through as to what the Bible says about him. It's pretty powerful. You ready? It's an old song, but it has everything that I think connects with us when we look at the Word of God and knowing who he is intimately. In Genesis, he is the breath of life. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is Moses' voice. In Joshua, he is salvation's choice. In Judges, he is the lawgiver. In Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer. 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the sovereign one. Ezra, he's true and faithful scribe. Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken walls and lives. In Esther, he is Mordecai. Has courage. In Job, he is the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is our morning song. In Proverbs, he is the wisdom cry. Ecclesiastes, he is the time and he is the season. In the Song of Solomon, he is the lover's dream. He is, he is, he is. Should I go on? In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the weeping prophet. In Lamentation, he's the cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is the forever faithful. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, he's the arm that carries us. In Obadiah, he is the Lord of our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. Micah, the promise of peace. Nahum, he is our strength and our shield. Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he pleads for revival. In Haggai, he restores lost heritages. In Zechariah, he is our foundation. In Malachi, he's the Son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. That's just the Old Testament. In 30 seconds, can I get an amen? He is. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God, man, and Messiah. In the book of Acts, he is fire from heaven. In Romans, he is the grace of God. In Corinthians, he's the power of love. In Galatians, he is freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he is the glorious treasure. Philippians, the servant heart. In Colossians, he is the God Trinity. In Thessalonians, he's our coming King. In Timothy, Titus, Philemon, he is our mediator, our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he is the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the one who heals the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our shepherd. In John and Jude, he is the lover and coming to his bride. In Revelation, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of Man. He is the Lamb of God that I am. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is our God and our Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is after time is no more. And if I get excited, I'm sorry, because I know this is my God and whom I love with all that I have. Church, are you alive today to know this is what he calls you and I to today, regardless of where you are? So I want to know him with everything that I have today. I'm tired of just existing. I want my life to engage. Anybody with me this morning, church? And joy will come when we get to know him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Lord God, in this critical moment, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit will do only what your Holy Spirit can do, and that you would give us, your church, the courage and the ability to say yes to you in ways that we otherwise could never say yes to you. This could be a moment that's critical for lots of people in this place, and I'm asking that you would give them exactly what they need, oh God. Give them what they need, because some are hurting right here and right now. Some have allowed their faith to grow old and their journey to become cold, but today they want that fire once again. So I'm praying as the keyboard plays now, I'm going to ask you all, in Jesus' name, would you stand up with me? I'm a preacher that calls people to application. So I'm not here to woo and wow you. I'm here to call you to life change. Is that okay, church? So I don't know what God is saying in your life, whether you're in the balcony or whether you're just watching online or whether you're down here in the front. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm wondering who God has spoken to in here. And you know that your heart's about to jump out of your chest. And you need this thing called the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you don't care how long you've been here, what other people think. You want to say, I want more of him right now. The joy will come. And if you really need that, I'm not going to make this private, because if you can't do it here, you're not going to do it anywhere. Are you following me? I'm wondering, maybe there's just one person that God has spoken to in this place. One who has the courage to, as we close, to come forward right now and to kneel in front of your brothers and sisters and say, I want more of him. I understand the potential and the power and the position. I want it now. I don't want to live it through this person or that person. I want it. I have a God who doesn't show favoritism. Today is your day. Like it was that fall night when I was sitting where you were sitting and I just said, I want more of you, God. I surrender. Holy Spirit, take over my life. With that being said, as the keyboard plays, is there anybody? And if that is you, I want you to come right now. Who has the courage to come and kneel and say, I want more of God right now? Is there anybody in this place? Go ahead. Go ahead and kneel. Go ahead. I just want more of God in my life. I want more of him today. I don't want to talk about my past. I want to make it present. Anybody else? The Holy Spirit is speaking. Who would come and respond? I'm going to ask that people would come behind these that are kneeling, and you can come and that they could be prayed with. And I want to pray over them before we worship together in song. And as we're worshiping, you're more than welcome to still respond, right? This isn't a one and done. But I want to pray for these. Would you bow your heads? Lord God, you know those who are coming, those that should have come, and all the rest. But I'm praying in Jesus' name that you would do exactly what you need to do in each of their lives. Oh God, hear our cry. Totally hear them. Sanctify them through and through. Holy Spirit, do something new and fresh in our lives. We need a fresh wind, fresh touch, fresh power. We need it today. We need it now. Hear our cry, oh God. Do what you need to do in their lives as they pray. In Jesus' name I pray.